Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
But it's Tuesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. So look for a new one of them tomorrow morning. But, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we'd really appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man.
So, you know, I'm in the process here, Dan, of attempting to put this my FanDuel lineup together, but I'm scuffling a little bit on how I want to kind of juggle it and arrange it and stuff. I had an idea that I thought it would be a good, you know, good to get Rockies in my lineup tonight because they are playing the Mariners and it's Ariel Miranda pitching. So I kind of like the idea of trying to get at least two in there. I have one, but I keep forgetting since they're in Colorado, the price is just, you know, monstrous for these guys. And, you know, a lot of times it sucks because it just feels like you've got to overpay to get a guy who's got a good matchup. And, you know, it can get a little frustrating as I'm kind of trying to juggle my FanDuel lineup. You know, I will tell you, Dan, it's probably a good day to stay away from Mike Trout, okay? I don't know if you had him in your lineup or not, but, yeah, I would stay off of Trout today and probably the next few weeks.
That
kind of goes. So, definitely... definitely something to look out for. But all right, I think I have solved my issues here, and this is what I came up with. I'm gonna go with Robbie Ray again. He's up to 9,400, so FanDuel must be reading his splits like everybody else. He's been fantastic on the road, and he stinks at home. He's in Pittsburgh tonight. So I'm hoping that works out again. I think last time I used him, he scored like 55 points for me, and the sad part was that team still didn't money. Catching, I'm going with Mike Zunino of the Mariners for $3,000. No real next explanation needed there. All I got to tell you is they're playing in Colorado. I did manage to get two Rockies into my lineup. I'm going with Mark Reynolds at first base of Colorado for $3,800. Second base, I'm going with Chase Utley of the Dodgers at $2,300. He's been super hot. Third base, I'm going with Josh Donaldson tonight. He's $3,600, and I know he hasn't done much since coming off the DL, but I like that he's hitting in the two-hole still for Toronto, and I think there's, against Cincinnati, I think there's an opportunity for him to succeed tonight. Obviously, I needed to save a little money here. My shortstop is Alan Cordoba of the Padres. He's $2,300, and he's leading off for them tonight. Interestingly, he'll probably play center field, but on FanDuel, he's still a shortstop. My outfield ended up being Ian Desmond of the Rockies for $3,700. I went with Sinshu Chu of the Rangers at $3,500. And then I end up with David Peralta as my final outfielder of the Diamondbacks for $3,400. So, yeah, it's Robbie Ray pitching, Mike Zunino catching, Mark Reynolds at first, Chase Utley at second, Josh Donaldson at third, Alan Cordoba at short, and then Ian Desmond, Sinshu Chu, and David Peralta in the outfield. This, of course, is for the 6:05 main, which is going to start in about 30 minutes or so. So
call me next spring. Yeah,
good luck. Get your lineup in. Hopefully it works out. And like I said, I've been terrible lately. Well, actually, I didn't say that on the air, but I've been terrible lately. So I hope you have some better luck than I've had as of late. I just been scuffling. I went from good to bad really quick.
Well, I'm going with Sale tonight, so it's pretty difficult to put together something.
Yeah, you know, I looked at him. I figured, you know, he's probably good for double-digit strikeouts or whatever. So, you know, and I do need to apologize, Dan. On Sunday, you know, Mr. Fantasy and I put our lineups together. My lineup scored 45.9 points that we did over the air. And the sad part was I really liked it going in while we were doing it. So, yeah, that's how embarrassing that was. Even the super hot Charlie Blackman scored a whopping 3 points for me. So that's kind of what happens to me when I go with those guys. It never really just never really works out for me. I know Mr. Fantasy was asking me that day. That was the day Trout got hurt. But he really liked his matchup. And, you know, Trout is just one of those guys that anytime I plug him into my lineup, one time he has been a real positive for me. Otherwise, he just really stinks for me. And it's just odd that happens with a player like that. But as you can tell, you know, Charlie Blackman had been the best player in baseball for about 2 weeks. I put him in my FanDuel lineup. He gets one hit. So, you know, that should pretty much answer all your questions right there.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that because my fantasy player of the week on the Hayes side was Charlie Blackman.
Yeah, well, that's a good choice. He was, he was super hot. Again, with the exception of, I believe he even, I don't know if he homered, but I know he drove a run in yesterday. He had been great except the day I had him in my lineup, and that's just, it almost gets to the point where it's humorous now because it's kind of like when I tell you I'm using a player, you want to go the other way. And even like Joe Ross, who had a great matchup, Mr. Fantasy and I both had him in a lineup, and that's just doom for a player. You know, the guy might as well just fake an injury and take the day off if he knows we're picking him. So, but all right, so we got Charlie Blackman as our fantasy player of the week. Who did we go with for pitchers? Or pitcher?
It definitely wasn't Ross Strickland. but
I don't know. I would have picked.
I mean, hands down. Yeah, hands down, Trout. I believe he had like 23 or 26 strikeouts, the two wins, the two quality starts. Add up the innings. I don't know what the negative was on his points, you know, early ones, but by far and away, he had the best week last week.
Yeah, you know, I know. Yeah, he had that one big. Did he only pitch once, or did he get two starts?
No, he did get two starts, and he won both of them.
Yeah, I know he had, I think, 15 strikeouts, I believe, against the Padres.
Mm-hmm.
So, he was huge. You know, I have him in our money league, I believe, or not our money league, our auction league. So that was a big plus to me, even though I got my butt kicked in the league itself. He was one of the only positives I had, or maybe I had him in the other. I don't know. I've got him in one of the leagues. I know that I was kind of buying him a little this year. Not too much, because I always worry about him and his innings and how they're going to do crap. But definitely two solid choices. But since you brought up Hunter Strickland and the lovely incident from yesterday, baseball has released their suspensions, and no surprise, they absolutely screwed this up. Hunter Strickland got 6 games, and Bryce Harper got 4. Now, of course, both players are appealing this, so we'll see how it works out. But yeah, I'm not surprised baseball didn't have big enough Canucks to get into double digits with both these guys. And, you know, this is really just kind of You know, it's just a garbage suspension for either guy. You know, they'll appeal. It'll come down a game. It'll be nothing. And that'll be that. So.
Well, I mean, I don't understand what happened to the game where everyone gets so upset about them, you know, starting to play. I mean, it was a cheap shot. It was pretty bogus on Strickland's part. And I think Harper had every right to go out there and do that. But, I mean, if they don't want guys doing this, why don't they just ban it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's blame to be put on both sides here. I don't understand why Strickland's carrying a grudge from, it was either two or three years ago. I think it's 3 years ago. You know, I mean, like, I saw the highlights, and I understand Harper stared him down while you're rounding the bases. Who cares? It was 3 years ago. You know, let it go, but in no uncertain terms should they have let Harper off the hook for throwing that helmet, even though he threw it poorly, and it was quite embarrassing for a guy who's an outfielder with a great arm to do that. You know, that's as dangerous from as close as he was as getting hit with the 90-mile-an-hour fastball. You know, I mean, if he would have connected with that helmet in his face or something like that, you know, you're looking at a serious injury. So yeah, the fact that neither of these guys, you know, both of these guys should have gotten double-digit games. There's no doubt in my mind. They were both at fault, and I knew baseball wouldn't do it. I knew they wouldn't have big enough Canucks to do it, especially with Mike Trout hurt. I'm surprised Harper didn't even get less of a suspension because they are really the two faces of the game, and this doesn't surprise me at all that they wussed out and went this route.
Yeah, but, you know, you're looking at it at that end where I, with a lot of other people, are looking at it and he, as he was ready to wind up to throw that helmet, I think he thought twice about that, and that's why the throw ended up looking the way it did.
Yeah, I don't think he's that smart. I think it just slipped out of his hands. A lot of people are giving him credit for that, and I don't buy it. You know, in the heat of the moment there, the last thing you're thinking about is throwing that helmet. He had made up his mind he was going to throw that helmet. He was throwing that helmet. He didn't intentionally throw it off to the side. It just legitimately slipped out of his hand, and it ended up going that way. There's absolutely no way he was smart enough to realize that, as pissed off as he was going to the mound. So there's no way in hell I buy that as an explanation.
Get off my yard.
So, you know, I mean, you know, to be fair, I mean, at least Strickland didn't go headhunting. He does throw very hard. So at least, you know, he just hit him in the rear end. You know, that, you know, again, I'm not advocating hitting people, but, you know, at least he was smart enough to not go headhunting. We've seen some idiots, you know, go up around people's head when they're trying to get even like this. And, you know, he gives that. I am really disappointed that a lot of people seem to be giving Buster Posey crap for not getting out in front of it and stopping it. So, you know, like Eduardo Perez really called him out on the Mickey Mouse Network broadcast yesterday. Because, I mean, you know, if you watch the highlights, Posey literally just stands there. And even when the melee starts, he doesn't really get involved. He stays on the outside, and, you know, he's really uncommittal to what he's doing. So he got a lot of crap from a lot of people. And then my wonderful friend Brian Kenny, who's as dumb as a stump, tried to point out that Posey was calling out Hunter Strickland in his post-game interview. He did nothing of the sort if you watched the interview. It was just Brian Kenny thinking he was a lot smarter than anybody else, and he's just a complete idiot. So don't buy any of that crap if you're listening. I would like to know, you know, it's one of those things we'll never know the truth, but I did hear the leaked story was Hunter Strickland had told Posey about this and told Posey to stay there because he wanted Harper to come to the mound, which I could completely buy because Strickland is a big dude. So, we'll have to see how that kind of goes. But yeah, it's too bad we'll never get the actual full story behind what went on there.
Maybe in 20 years.
Yeah, well, you know, it was also funny, like, I heard somebody trying to include Madison Bumgarner in this because, you know, obviously, if you catch the highlights, he actually jumps up and is going to go out on the field and then thinks better of it. Now, again, we're talking about a guy who has a shoulder injury. Do you really want him out there in this scrap?
Oh, definitely not. I didn't know that was your question. I thought it was rhetorical.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty stupid on some of the people's part to be like, well, you know, he didn't go out there either. He just stayed. Well, yeah, of course he stayed in the dugout, morons. That's where he belongs. So, it was just kind of like, oh, jeez.
Well, I mean, it was kind of funny to watch, though. It looked like he was out there and...
So yeah, I mean the one part that was really, oh, I don't know if you want to call it interesting or how you want to describe it, is I really think, as odd as it sounds, that Harper owes almost a small bit of gratitude to Mike Morris. Because if Morris wouldn't have gotten him first, Jeff Samardzija would have laid him out with that tackle. instead, Samardzija ended up running into, he ended up banging heads with Mike Morris, and, they ended up hitting each other, so... It benefited Harper because, yeah, you know, Samardzija was, you know, he had a full head of steam rolling, and, you know, if he would have made contact, I think it would have been, let's just say it would have been bad for Bryce. I mean, he was, you know, obviously Samardzija, you know, even though he was a wide receiver, he knows how to hit, so.
No, he was a tight end.
So, yeah, it was just, I mean, it was definitely, you know, definitely an interesting scenario there. And I know that's what, even Posey mentioned that in his, you know, pregame interview about how, you know, Morris got tagged. And, yeah, it was, it was definitely one of the more... interesting baseball fights. You know, normally they're not that thrilling. So this one, this one did not disappoint. They actually threw some punches and.
Did anyone technically connect, or were they like wrestling punches?
I believe the first one Strickland threw landed. I don't think it landed flush, but I believe it landed. And then, you know, Harper had that almost like the push to the face where he had a closed fist, but it was really more like a hand in the face closed fist. It was a really weird looking punch, obviously. So, we'll see what, you know, if this is over. I know somebody predicted tonight that the Nationals would go after Buster Posey. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if that happens.
I mean, do these jerks just pick names out of a hat? I mean, I get it. If you want to retaliate, you're Washington. Of all guys, why would you go after Posey, the guy who stood there? Because he
allegedly he's the Giants' best player. Yeah, because he's the Giants' best player. So when you retaliate, you're supposed to go after the best player.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, we'll pitching, you know, hopefully it's actually Gio Gonzalez tonight. But yeah, it's Gio against Samardzija. So it could be interesting, you know, if you know, maybe if they do go after Posey, you know, Gio's going to have to get in the box against Samardzija. That could be interesting if something like that happens, because I don't think Samardzija would have a problem retaliating.
No. And, you know, not to run this one into the ground, but when it comes to Samardzija, I little specklings, but I don't know if you'd call any of it truth, or I don't even know if it would happen. But do you think there's any possibility that the Giants would be looking to get out from his contract, and for some crazy reason, Theo Jed would want to pick it up? I don't know if you've heard any
I haven't heard that. You know, it's kind of like, you know, maybe, I mean, the Giants year seems to be going nowhere. You know, Samardzija is on a pretty big deal. You know, it's kind of like everything else. I mean, what would they be looking for in return? And, you know, we know how it goes with Theo. He doesn't like to give up those prospects. So I don't know if he would voluntarily make a move like that. I mean, they need something.
Because from your point of view, you're kind of looking at it. The talks would happen and maybe be more conceivable if the Giants were to approach the Cubs and not the other way around.
Yeah, I that would be, like, I don't see the Cubs going out to actively pursue Samardzija. You know, if it was the Giants who said, hey, you know, would you guys be interested in bringing him back? I think there could be a little something to that. But, yeah, I just don't, you know, you remember how difficult it was? I mean, we all knew last year the Cubs needed an upgrade closer, and it took Joe forever to make the move because he had to decide on which prospects he was willing to get rid of.
Yeah, which one of the guys that we have too many of the same position do we get rid of?
Yeah, you know, oddly, I mean, they have plenty of that. You know, I mean, Candelaria has absolutely no spot on this team because Chris Bryant isn't going anywhere. You know, unless they've got some kind of really strange move they've got going on, or, you know, they're still hung up that Bryant can't be a third baseman and he's going to have to move to the outfield. But, you know, I mean, I've said over and over, there's absolutely no place for Alberto Almora on this team. They've proven over and over that they don't like him. So, you know, I mean, the bigger slap in the face was this weekend. They had a blowout game going on. Almora's in the starting lineup. He goes 2-for-3 against Clayton Kershaw. They bring a reliever in, and they hook him for a pinch hitter, Schwarber, who, of course, grounds out. So it's like, okay, obviously you don't want this guy on your team. I don't even know why he's still in the majors and not playing full-time at Iowa. So, you know, you could easily move him. You know, part of the reason the defense sucks is because they don't have the confidence to play him out there every day. But, you know, it's their decision and, you know, how it goes. So, yeah, I mean, there are guys roaming around there that we're never going to see at the major league level. It's great to talk about it all you want. And it's great to, you know, have those nice high rankings on the farm system chart and all that other cool stuff. But you got to be able to turn it into what you need. So,
yeah, and, you know, with the Samardzija talk, and, you know, we talked about this for years. He's a guy who's going to give up runs. We both know that. but do you think it even makes it a lot more or less likely with the complete lack of consistency on the Cubs' offensive side?
Yeah, it's so difficult to, you know, kind of rank this stuff now. I think if we didn't live in Chicago I could probably get a better grasp of the Cubs situation, because obviously, you know, just about every single Cub fan is in panic mode. You know, I mean, just listening to the radio, they're going crazy. Even the guys who do the talk shows and stuff, they're all insane that, you know, this team is just, you know, nobody knows what's going on with this team and all the other stuff. So it's tough to get a grasp. I mean, I'm still not in panic mode because we're not even to June yet. You know, and again, the rules are you don't panic until the All-Star break or until you're 10 games out. And I think they're a game and a half out of first place, even though they're only 500. So, I mean, imagine if they could somehow put together, you know, even just a 5-game winning streak, it probably gets them into first place. You know, imagine if they get really hot and they go 10 or 12. Well, then all of a sudden they probably got a really solid division lead out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you know, that's the, and you know, I mean, obviously it's difficult to do this when you're running, you know, Eddie Butler out there as one of your five and John Lackey, who's really scuffled. Even you can even add Jake Arrieta to that point, who's had his struggles. You know, Kyle Hendricks had been really good until just that one inning yesterday. You know, he kind of fell apart, gave up the grand slam, and that was it. You know, the Cubs' offense really was disappointing. They had many, many chances to score. I think Jared Cozart even walked an usher yesterday while he was pitching, and the Cubs just couldn't play two runs off him. So they deserve to lose that game. I mean, say what you will, they deserve to lose. You got to take advantage of that. And, yeah, it was, you know, it's been proven clearly that they need another starting pitcher. You know, will it be Samardzija? You know, will they, you know, we mentioned some of the other names, you know, last week. I mean, where are they going to go? You know, are they, you going after Sonny Gray? You know, is he possibly the answer? There could be some guys out there. Maybe the Phillies are ready to move Jeremy Hellickson. You know, I think he's only on a 1-year deal, so he could be the perfect rent-a-player. Very much like Chapman was. So, there are some guys. At this point in time, I think people would be happy if they just went to Kansas City and got Jason Hamill back, wouldn't they?
Just give him some salted chips or sea salt.
Yeah, no, I mean, he would be an upgrade over Brett Anderson or Eddie Butler. So.
We'll get to the pitching in a second, but. You know, two things on the hitting side. I mean, do you think I know batting order shouldn't matter, but I think part of it, to me, what I see is the, you know, wanting to go with this Bill James crap and not going a little bit more traditional. But then you add that with the fact that you have too many guys that you want to play. That, and I think Schwarber puts way too much pressure on himself, and I'm not going to say that left huge shoes to fill, although he, you know, played a great role at that leadoff spot last year. But do you think that's a combination of the three?
Yeah, they screwed the pooch by not finding a leadoff hitter. And again, this is where I really thought Alberto Almora was going to fit into the picture. I honestly thought he was just going to play center field every day and lead off and literally just be plugged in for Dexter Fowler. They didn't go that route. Okay, well, you know, you got John Jay here who actually has experience as a leadoff guy. He did it for St. Louis for a couple years. But, you know, I don't know if you want to see him in the lineup every day in center field. But then, you know, if you do that, that probably means, you know, Ian Happ, Ben Zobrist, and Javi Baez are, you know, fighting for one or two positions. So one of them would have to sit. And, it's an odd scenario here with this team. But, I mean, you know, you start looking at the numbers. I mean, you know, flat out, Kyle Schwarber has sucked. There's absolutely no other way to say it. He's hitting .173. He's got 57 strikeouts in 45 games. you know, Addison Russell has sucked. He's hitting 220. His defense has been horrible. And that's the thing he's supposed to be here for, is his defense. You know, he's making errors that got Starlin Castro run out of town. But absolutely nobody brings that up because they won the World Series. Who cares? He can make those errors now. We won a World Series last year. But, you know, when Starlin Castro did that, they were ready to lynch him from one of the baskets in the outfield. You know, in reality, Anthony Rizzo hasn't been very good. Sure, he's got 12 bombs. He's hitting 235. You know, and I mean, you can just kind of go down the list. Hey, great, Ian Hopp's here. Well, I guess they figured him out. He's hitting 240. You know, Wilson Contreras is hitting 241. These are unacceptable averages, with the exception of Jason Hayward at 258 because he sucked so bad last year. So, you know, I mean, even Chris Bryan, who's been the best regular, is only hitting 267. The only guys over 300 is Miguel Montero, who plays part-time, and my guy Tommy La Stella, who's now in Iowa because, let's face it, he shouldn't be here anyways. So, you know, it's just, you know. Yeah, you know, and I mean, you can listen to all the, you know, all the BS. I mean, I heard Len and JD trying to blame it on that they ran into some bad weather early in the year, and, you know, that was part of the reason they weren't hitting. Well, you know, we played in some bad weather there, Len, and, you know, now that we're out here in L.A. and San Diego, we're going to start to hit. I believe the Dodgers shut them out in back-to-back games. And they scored two runs off a Padre hitter that two runs off a Padre pitcher who, like I said, I think he walked five guys in four innings, and they could only score two runs off him. I think they only got three hits off him. So, you know, when are they going to hit, Dan? Tell me. Is it not warm enough there in San Diego or L.A. to hit?
No, it was probably too cool, right? Wasn't hot enough.
So. Well, you know, and I know they were complaining yesterday that it was only 60 in San Diego at game time. So, you know, but, it's difficult to watch. It's even difficult to listen because I just get tired of the excuses. You know, all good old Len Casper and Jim Deshays are a guy, you know, like everybody cries about Hawk for being a homer with the White Sox. But if a player makes a bad play, Hawk will tell you. You know, Len and JD won't. They've got, it's almost like they have an excuse board ready. You know, like Addison Russell made a horrible throw to first base yesterday. It got by Anthony Rizzo, and immediately they started coming up with like, well, you know, it looked like maybe the ball slipped while he was transferring it from the glove to his hand. And then they show the replay, and you can clearly see that it doesn't. He just makes a crappy throw. But their job is obviously to cover up for these guys and not tell you what's going on. You know, they just can't go out there and say, well, you know, maybe he rushed it a little or it was a bad throw or anything like that. You've got to say, well, it really wasn't his fault. Whatever, jerk-offs. So.
Well, I mean, do you think they, the two of them have a meeting before every game? Be like, remember Steve Stone.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I'm sure that comes up. Yeah, you know, I'm sure that comes up every now and then where they realize, you know, especially a guy like JD who has no history with the Cubs. You know, he was never a Cub. You know, he never had really anything to do with the organization except playing against them. So, you know, he's really, if anybody's on thin ice, it's him. I mean, you know, Len Casper is a professional broadcaster. He's just, you know, kissing, you know, butt like he's supposed to do. Like, you know, like pretty much everybody does. I mean, when you listen to these other broadcasts and stuff, you can hear, you know, the same thing. You know, my buddy Michael, you know, my buddy Michael Kay does the same thing for the Yankees. You know, when they have, you know, when they make a bad play, you know, he's right there, you know, kissing their butt. So it doesn't seem like it's as bad as, you know, it was. There, you know, there are very few guys who are comfortable enough or in the position, you know, to where they can go out there and tell the truth about what actually happened on the field. So it's not like they're the only guys. It just gets kind of irritating.
Yeah, well, I mean, the one thing that, like you said, would kill me with Deshaies is, you know, it's almost like when Schwem came in and told you how they're going to do it the Cubs way. And it's like, wait, weren't you in the Brewers organization your whole life? What the hell do you know about the Cubs way of doing things? And then you got JD come in, and you swear the guy doesn't know a thing about baseball. I'm like, the smallest thing, I go, well, it works this way and that way. And this is why it's done that way. You know, they were calling, and this I don't understand. I still don't understand even the scores going along with this. Last season, they had two squeeze bunts that were scored as sacrifices. The guy reached first base. So how in the hell is that a sacrifice bunt when nothing was sacrificed? You know, and of course, when they, you know, I'm sure when they read my tweet, they just skipped over it and kept scrolling. But, I mean, especially being a pitcher, I know you said that before, well, he was a pitcher, that's why he doesn't know anything. But a squeeze bunt, you should know. You know what I mean? It's a squeeze bunt. And a sacrifice is when you give up an out to move a guy over to second, third, or to score that run. It's not a sacrifice when you score a run and the guy reaches first. It's a complete improbability because nothing was sacrificed. You know, and those are two stupid examples. I'm sure, you know, 95% of people who watch the game and just jumped on the wagon could care less about that. But, I mean, they're always talking about the integrity of the game, but, you know, you got a guy who played the game and doesn't really seem to know the game. I don't know. But, you know, kind of jumping off that, but going back to the pitching, you know, was it two seasons ago, Mr. Fantasy thought, you know, Jake Arrieta was on the up and up and going to keep going. And then I'm sure, I know you had to have heard what Scott Boras, his comparisons to Greinke, Kershaw, and Scherzer. And well, what I love the most is he's trying to compare Arrieta's three seasons, you know, going back to 3 years, you know, 16, 15, and 14, when you can take Kershaw, Greinke, and Scherzer and go back to 2010. I looked at all their numbers. They all are consistently kind of in the same realm where Jake Arrieta, I feel like, is on one of those roller coaster curves where, you know, maybe he'll get better again, but, you know, he was down, down, down. He peaked, and that's just kind of what I felt. You know, he went from no-hitter to no-hitter, and then that's kind of been the end of it. I don't, you know, that's everyone talks about the velocity. I don't really care about the velocity. You don't need the velocity if you can place your pitch. Am I wrong in that, you know?
No. You know, and I'm trying to not kill Scott Boras on this because obviously it was an asinine statement. You know, but to be fair, he was doing his job. Yeah, you know, that this is his job. His job is to get Jake Arrieta paid. So while it was an incredibly stupid statement and just completely wrong, you know, Arrieta had one good year. He won a Cy Young. He was okay last year. He wasn't great. He was good, you know, but he wasn't a top of the rotation starter. And that's the thing Kershaw, Greinke, and Scherzer have had in common. They are true number ones. Jake Arrieta is not a true number one.
Yeah.
You know, it looked like he was going to be when he won the Cy Young, but when he came back last year, he wasn't. He's certainly not this year. So, you know, that's kind of the definition there. And, you know, again, it's just too easy to come on here and make fun of Boras and, you know, be like, okay, he's a complete idiot and it was a dumb statement. But, you know, these are the things he's got to do. He's trying to get Jake paid, if not by the Cubs, by somebody else. So,
I mean,
he was just wrong.
But yeah, and do you think you could have accepted his statement a little better if he didn't bring up those three guys?
Yeah, I think if there's better ways to do it, you know, I mean, if he could have just statistically put the stuff out there and not started name dropping, because, you know, the minute you're dropping Clayton Kershaw's name. The only guys you can really drop in that category are Max Scherzer and Chris Sale. And even those two are behind Kershaw in the slot. You know, you got to remember, Greinke wasn't very good last year for Arizona. That first year there, he really struggled. He got better as the year went on. Yeah, so, you know, it's just one of those things. You got to be careful who you want to add your guy in. And I get it. You've got to sell him as that type of pitcher. And, you know, that's all he's doing. He's a salesman. He's just trying, you know, he's just trying to distract you.
Well, do you think that, I mean, I don't think there'd be any team that would take Arrieta for a trade right now. You know, and I mean, the Cubs already have enough second short outfielders, right? So, I mean, you really can't acquire any more prospects to just sit around and do nothing in the organization. So, I mean, you know, like you said, he's just kind of getting it ready for the offseason when we get the talks going for his contract. But, you know, the number I've heard around, and, you know, we both know he's going to get paid. But, yeah, I mean, 7 years. 7 years.
Yeah.
That's the number.
Well, you know, the years, you know, those years always change. Sometimes those guys don't always get that year. That seems to be what all these guys start out on is, well, he wants 7 years. And, you know, then they come down to, you know, 4 years or 5 years or however it works out. I mean, if Jake Arrieta had a 7-year deal, you should be fired as a general manager. Unless the last 2 or 3 years are option years. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, because if you sign him, yeah, well, we got a 4-year deal with three option years at the end, so it's 7 years in total. That's okay, because then you can get out of it. You know, but, you know, it's you know, the tough part where the Cubs are right now is, you know, you got to remember, this team sucks at developing pitching. There's absolutely nothing in the minor league pipeline. While they have all these great position players, there are zero starting pitchers in this minor league system. And I mean zero.
No, they have Dwayne Underwood, isn't he?
Yeah.
He ain't going to be it.
Yeah, he ain't going to be it. So, you know, there's nobody in this pipeline who's going to be a top of the rotation major league starter. So they may have to pay Arrieta. They may not only have to pay Arrieta, they may have to pay somebody else so they can at least get four decent guys in the rotation. So, because don't forget, Lackey's also a free agent after this year, and I'm assuming the clock has run out on him considering he's pushing 40.
Well,
so,
I believe he said he's going to retire.
Yeah, you know, you never know. You know how things go with these guys. If you get the right contract offer, or, you know, how things go. But, yeah, he in his best interest, he probably should. I think he's done.
Well, no, I think he actually said that, but I could be wrong. Well, no, I think I don't think he actually said that because he's not a farewell tour kind of guy. I think we're his
right.
His
that's what. That's how he said it. So
when I'm done, you know, because
any,
I won't be back.
Yeah, he didn't want any kind of farewell tour. So, you know. So, but anyways, Dan, the sabermetric community was crushed this morning when it was announced that Mike Trout needed surgery on his thumb and he was going to miss approximately 6 to 8 weeks. What I did love, Dan, is they are still finding ways to give him the MVP, Dan. It doesn't matter that he's going to miss 2 months of the season and probably 60 games. He can win the MVP if he plays 100 games, Dan. They will give it to him.
Yeah, you know, that's number one. I just thought, man, what a way to go out with a thumb injury. But I don't remember which hand they said, but hopefully that doesn't, you know, screw up his grip too much when he does come back. But the first thing I thought of was you. And the MVP. Somehow he's still going to get it. We'll have the next Triple Crown batter with a 400 batting average, but, you know, Mike Trout will deserve it.
Because
he came back from an injury.
And that was the thing is, you know, everybody was excited because, you know, he was either leading in the Triple Crown stats or he was right there. So everybody was convinced that he was going to win the Triple Crown. And, you know, this was going to be the crowning achievement in, you know, Mike Trout baseball. But, they went out of their way today on one of the shows I caught to make sure they mentioned that he's still in the MVP race. Don't count him out of the MVP race because, you know, he still deserves to win it, and I don't know why. But he deserves to win it, Dan, because his team is under 500 but in second place in the AL West.
Oh. Well, at least they're in second this time. That's the thing that kills me. I get it. You know, you want to keep him in the running for an all-star votes and whatever. That's cool. It's almost June, and we're worried about the MVP.
Yeah. Well, you know, they had already given it to him.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, he's already won the MVP. Just with the start he had, they had already given it to him. His name is already on the trophy, Dan. And I think that's the problem is they're worried they're going to have to take it off. You know, they're going to have to pay an engraver to, you know, go put something else on there. But, you know, it's just kind of it was humorous listening to them. He can definitely still do this, you know. And then they had to bring up the fact that, you know, Gabby Harnett won it way back when with the Cubs, only playing 116 games. They also forgot to mention that he was a catcher and they didn't play 161 games when he won it. So, you know, or 162 games, excuse me. So that was kind of humorous that, you know, again, we're fudging stats to kind of fit what we need to get done there. So that was quite interesting, but yeah, they're already on, you know, Trout watch to make sure he still wins the MVP, even though he's going to be out for 8 weeks.
Are we going to get little video montage updates? Mike Trout, some wrestling to get in shape.
That would be cool. Actually, I would actually enjoy that. So, you know, just kind of, you know, kind of get to see, you know, and they could play the Rocky music behind it. So, you know, could you just picture that, you know, dun, 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 you know, and Trout's doing thumb exercises or something, you know, that would be so perfect.
We need to send a tweet out to Jimmy Kimmel. I don't like the other Jimmy.
Yeah.
But,
Dan, it looks like it's his left thumb. You were mentioning it before, so.
And he's left-handed?
He's right-handed.
Well, that shouldn't be as detrimental, right? Because you're getting more of the power out of the top hand.
Yeah, I think the only issue may, you know, because depending on how this heals, of course, the issue may be holding the bat.
Yeah.
You know, it shouldn't affect him in the field because they can pad it and everything to put it in the glove. That won't be that big of a deal. It's going to be the bottom hand with control of the bat. So.
Yeah. If only it was the pinky, then you could hang it off the end of the bat.
Right, or you could just cut it off.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a football story. You probably don't remember that, where Ronnie Lott of the 49ers had a damaged pinky, and they were telling him he had to miss the game, and he actually told him to cut it off so he wouldn't have to miss the game. So,
did they cut it off or no?
No, it was worked out. He was able to keep the pinky. So, but all right, we're talking about Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy who?
Jimmy Kimmel, and I don't think we touched on this, but, you know, we've got a couple days before everyone's favorite rubber match, rematch, for the NBA Finals comes up. But I would ask you to predict, but, you know, it seems like everyone's going with the Warriors. But I don't know if you caught this a few weeks back, and it was Jimmy Kimmel did a Draymond Green kind of like a montage. You know, what he does and, you know, when he's not playing, or I don't know if it was just training for the regular season or training for the playoffs. And basically it was a guy, you know, dressed like him. You never see the front of him going around and kicking people in the nards. I don't know if you caught that one.
No, sadly, he's on a little too late for me. So
wow. No, that's not something I actually watched live. That was like a retweet or a repost on Facebook. So I thought that was pretty humorous.
I would have liked to have seen that.
Yeah, real quick, you know, like I said, I think I'm going to go with the Warriors again, just to roll the dice. And, you know, KD's on our team, so he can get his ring and then opt out. And him and LeBron can team up and on the Lakers with the kid. I forgot his name already. Lonzo, whatever. You know, like I said, real quick, who do you think? Cavs, Warriors, who do you got?
Is there another option?
The referees.
Penguins?
The other option.
Penguins?
Yeah, you already have the Penguins. That's the next.
Oh, damn it.
Little.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, Big Jack.
Well, my first choice is I don't care, but if I had to pick, I'm taking the Warriors.
Oh, okay. So now that we both picked them, that means they're going to lose, right?
Yeah, sure. What the hell? You know.
Yeah, now, I don't know if you checked it out. I watched most of the game, but I was too sad to watch the highlights or the game recap this morning, so I just didn't. But how excited were you when the Penguins pulled it out last night?
Yeah, well, you know what was weird is it was 3-0 when I went to bed, and I thought they were just going to cruise.
So did I. I stopped watching it.
I was just like, oh, okay, we're going to get one. It's going to be one of these blowout game one wins. You know, nothing big. It's just going to be, you know, it happens from time to time. So I was kind of like, oh, okay, no big deal. It's just one of those fun things. And then, I get up and I realize that it was 4-3 at one point until Pittsburgh got the empty net goal. So.
I mean, Nashville's still fighting. You know, like you said before, home ice doesn't always completely matter, but do you think it played a little bit into last night?
You know, honestly, I was actually talking, or well, not really talking to Stu about this, but going over this with Schomburg Stu, I believe home ice is actually more important for the Predators than, you know, because Pittsburgh, you know, their fans aren't really kind of, you know, over the top like that, where, you know, the Predators, I mean, when they get home, this is going to be a very big deal for them. So
Pittsburgh fans, we've already been here, we've done this. We've been there, we've done that.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just the building, you know, maybe the building's not conducive for noise or anything like some of them are, but you know, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I haven't watched a ton of Penguins games, but it just never seems like it's super loud there, where, you know, when this, when this series gets to Nashville, even if they're down 2-0, it's going to be insane. I mean, it's the first time, you know, they've ever been to the Stanley Cup Finals, and I mean, I expect it to be just off the wall. It's going to be completely nuts. So,
Carrie Underwood's going to sing again.
Again, is that who? Yeah. Well, I guess they were saying their thing now is they keep the national anthem singer secret.
Yeah.
So, which is kind of cool, actually. I get a kick out of that.
Or, you know, see who's in town, see who's home for the weekend, or, you know, the couple days.
Yeah, that's all. But you just got to kind of look who's hanging around. So
yeah, well, but I'm sure with Carrie Underwood as her husband plays for the team, And like you said, you know, first time Stanley Cup, she's a hometown girl. I don't know if she's a grew up there, but I know she lives there.
I think she's originally from like Oklahoma or something. So, you know.
Yeah, but either way, I'm sure she'll be there. But, you know, maybe they'll have a whole, you know, a whole lot of country stars coming there to see in a couple of days. But I still think it's going to be an exciting series. I don't know.
How Pittsburgh wins it.
Ratings-wise, competing against each other, which they won't. I highly doubt they'll be on the same night. But do you still think, just because of the mothership's backing of the NBA, that they'll have the better ratings?
Yeah, I believe so, because, you know, all the programming, if you've watched the Mickey Mouse Network at all today, that's actually still the front and center story, is the NBA championship. It doesn't matter that we had a big brawl. It doesn't matter that we got hurt. And it doesn't matter, Dan, what you and Tiger Woods did over the weekend where he got arrested. All they want to talk about is the NBA. They also enjoy showing Tiger Woods' mugshot. And by the way, it's been reported that he blew 0.00. So I'm guessing he wasn't drunk and the medication thing looks legit. But we'll see where that goes. It's the only thing, you know, and with the struggling network, you know, they're basically trying to save their rear end. You know, they need to land ratings for this. And, you know, obviously they got what they wanted. It's Warriors Cavaliers. We weren't going to see anybody else. You know, you and I knew this back in October. I don't know how many other people did, but you and I knew this is exactly the finals we were going to see. You know, now we got it. Kevin Durant said, I don't have to care, so I don't care. And they can go play all they want. It can go 7 games. It can go 9 games. It can go until August. I won't watch it. I could care less. So good luck.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I think a lot of, you know, broadcasters didn't say it before the season started, that, you know, obviously thought this would be the outcome, you know, because you're not allowed to talk bad, because otherwise you might get in trouble. You might get sanctioned or, you know, something like that. But I thought it was funny because the score guys in the morning this week, most likely last week, because I, you know, wasn't up early this last couple of days, they actually had an NBA.com reporter on their show, and they're like, you know what's even worse than having to wait for this this NBA Finals? And he's like, what? Having to wait for next year's Cavs-Warriors rematch. You know, and I thought that was pretty funny that, you know, I think everyone's starting to bring it out in the open because it's not so much of a hush-hush thing anymore. And, you know, guys are already calling out that who cares what happens this year, because we're going to see the same crap again next year. And do we really have to go through the entire NBA season for it to be a Cavs Warriors Part 4?
Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, it's kind of humorous that, you know, it's like, okay, you know, again, we're going to do this again. So, you know, we'll see. But yeah, I wish somebody could give me a reason to watch the finals. Oh, all right. It's time for Dan and I to take off. Now, we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this all again. So meet us here. You know the deal while we're gone, though. Check out sportsradio.com. Look for that new blog tomorrow morning. Link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like, please. We appreciate that. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at sportstimeradio. You can also find Dan and I on Twitter as well if you need us there. Feel free to hunt us down. As always, a big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at TuneIn.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.